McAllister began to disappear in one smooth motion. He had timed it all, rehearsed his moves, considered each variable, and left no margin for error. He didn't believe in mistakes. In his business, the people who made a mistake never had the opportunity to make another one. They were dead. He quietly rested his weapon on the floor. Better it should be found. There was too much danger in trying to hide it. The serial numbers on the Galil would not give him away. He had milled them off, then, for good measure, burned them. He did the same to the numbers on the scope and the silencer. The latex gloves assured that he'd leave no fingerprints, but the assassin even made certain to wipe down the gun stock. His cheek could give him away. A faint impression, some perspiration. The same was true of the Colt scope atop the rifle. McAllister knew that the FBI labs would drill down to the microscopic degree. Next, he surveyed the room one last time, which was unnecessary. He'd already burned all but the clothes he wore in the Berkshires, 30 miles away. By now his car, a used clunker, was rusting in the Hudson River. Two nights ago, McAllister drove it off the side of the road near Stuyvesant, 15 minutes up the line. So with nothing left except the Israeli rifle, McAllister quietly walked to the door, unfastened the chain lock, and left.